TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Ralph Nader, Breaking Through Power. It's easier than we think. Muckraker Jim Hightower said about Ralph Nader's new book, published by City Lights in San Francisco. Breaking Through Power provides progressive boat rockers with inspiration and a plan for reclaiming America from the greedy plutocrats who think democracy is for sale to the highest bidder. End quote. Just 3 weeks before the 2016 presidential election, Nader presented his plan of how to create a populist movement. He said it needs to be specific in its goals: unite left and right, and take power on a national scale. This was an auspicious moment, because in the audience at City Lights Books that night were so many who felt frustrated that yet again they had to vote for the lesser of two evils, and only two again, not even three or four choices. These thoughts were clearly expressed among the waiting audience. We had all arrived an hour ahead of the start time to find a seat inside the popular small bookstore, and we had time to talk among ourselves. When Nader arrived and spoke, everybody turned very quiet. He explained how to take power ourselves and apply it directly to Congress without the mediation or intervention of any party. Congress, Nader said, is the Khyber Pass, the center of power. We need to focus razor-like on individual members. Organizing from the grassroots in each district, we agree on specific demands that are supported widely, even nationally, and then presented in person to these members. In part one of the talk, Nader gave examples for some such goals. Demand a living wage of $15 an hour. Audit the Pentagon. Reduce the military budget. Gather uncollected taxes to the tune of $400 billion. Initiate a Wall Street speculation tax. Demand the transformation from fossil fuels and nuclear to renewables. Expand direct democracy. Referenda and recall should be possible in all states. And these are just a few examples Ralph Nader gave in the first half of his book talk for Breaking Through Power. It's easier than we think. Nader's plan as to how we arrive at formulating these goals is equally specific. He suggests opening year-round offices in each congressional district to represent the people full-time. There would be about 2,000 people in these offices in each district, made up of volunteers and paid staff. In order for this to become a national movement, seed money is needed to get it going for the first 36 months, crossing one election in which recalcitrant members who refuse to vote according to the wishes of the people can be voted out or recalled. Even though the initial price tag for offices across the country could be $1 billion, that money can be donated by the known progressive billionaires. After 36 months, we can draw on people willing to donate a certain amount of hours and $200 to $300 per year, and the movement becomes self-sustaining. Nader's plan for Breaking Through Power also includes a small staff of full-time lobbyists in Washington. They will follow up on the local demands, including offering sample legislation. They monitor success and failure by members of Congress to obey the wishes of their constituents. In the conclusion of Ralph Nader's first half on Breaking Through Power, he presented a third important element of direct democracy, the people's summons. Instead of patiently waiting for the Congress member to let us know when he or she is available for coffee and questions in the district, this new grassroots democratic movement via their local offices, comes up with concrete demands and sends a polite summons to the Congress member to appear at a town hall meeting organized by the constituents, and to be prepared to answer questions and take direction. Nader even has a plan how to break the media monopolies, referring to the Communications Act of 1934. That act codifies that the airways belong to the public and that broadcasters must earn a license to use them by serving the interest, convenience, and necessity of the American public. Currently, Congress has decided that the people have no access to their property and that the media monopolies are using the airwaves for free to make unspeakable profits. Nader began setting up the winning combination of people's summons and direct intervention with individual members to make sure our airwaves are no longer given away for free. I recorded Ralph Nader on October 18, 2016 at City Lights in San Francisco.
We're landlords, the FCC is our real estate agent, and they made sure Congress says you get it free. You turn that around, you say to Congress, no, little boys and girls, from now on, you're obeying us, the sovereign people, and we'll show you how we're going to enforce that. With summons, formal summons for town meetings regularly. You report back to us. We control the town meetings. We're going to have the agenda. You're just going to listen and study and go back and do what you're told, because we have a left-right coalition and we have the evidence and the humanity behind it. And so we should have our own audience network. Why don't we have 3 hours a day, prime time, where we charge them rent and then all over the country, local, state, national, we have reporters, producers, modern production facilities, and with the cable stations. Listen to the giveaway on this. We have 650 cited cable channels in this country, each one more idiotic than the other. For a while, I'm told they had a chimp channel dressed up in clothes. I have nothing against chimps. I'm coming out with a fable next month called Animal Envy, which you may be interested in. And we don't have a channel. The chimps? I mean, this is going too far. Equal rights here, at least. Now notice, to show you how they control us by controlling our expectation levels. Once our expectation levels are down, crooked politicians, pox on both their houses, I got better things to do with my private life. Exactly what they want you to say. When you think politics is a dirty word, why are we surprised when we get dirty politics? Actually, it's a beautiful word if you go back to its derivation. And so here's what we do on the cable. How come we have no labor channel? We have no consumer channel. We have no channel for millions of students, college, community college students. We have no channel for accountants. They have a lot to answer for. We have no channel for people who view themselves as small taxpayers and are sick of paying the freight for the big freeloaders. We should have a channel for all kinds of groups. We got 650 channels, we give it all away with nothing by way of reciprocity. What's the doctrine of reciprocity, for heaven's sake? We give away all kinds of R&D that created the semiconductor industry, Silicon Valley, aerospace, half of the pharmaceutical industry, the nanotechnology, all taxpayer basic research, the genetic engineering out of National Institutes of Health over the years. What are we getting for it? Other than staggering drug prices? Out of the stupid Facebook accounts where they use our personal information free and don't pay for it? Billions of idiotic apps? You got all this modern technology, you still have people in horrible poverty. Horrible hunger. 15 million children go hungry at night. Look at the hovels that people live in. Look at their shattered pensions by the Wall Street criminality, which shattered trillions of dollars of pensions, took away 9 million jobs in 2008-09, and then went to the taxpayer for a bailout as they jumped ship with golden handshakes, the big guys. None of them went to jail. None of them were prosecuted. You don't think that's a left-right position? tough criminal, corporate criminal laws would be passed in Congress. Tough penalties. Whole new penitentiaries created with good food because they demand it. Defend and extend civil liberties. This is a real left-right. The Patriot Act is an atrocity. It allows the government to search your home or apartment and not tell you for 72 hours. It allows the government, without probable cause, to get into your medical, financial information, your library takeouts and loans, etc. You don't think that's a 90% thing? Left, right, libertarian, progressive, liberal, conservative? Of course it is. Expand civic skills and experience among students in elementary and high school. Let them learn how to defend themselves from the electronic child molesters and the marketeers. Let them learn how to choose important and good food and good drink and avoid going overweight and obese and diabetic at a young age, which is lethal. Get rid of corporate personhood. Get rid of this eminent domain where you take small private property and give it to the big guys for development. That's a left-right issue. Empower shareholders, mutual funds, pension funds. They own the majority of shares of the big corporations. They have no power. They don't control what they own. The bosses control. And they've rigged the SEC and other agencies to strip us of our power of ownership. These are not capitalists. Capitalists observe owners having some control over what they own. These are corporate capitalists building a corporate state, which Franklin Delano Roosevelt called the 1938 message to Congress, fascism. We have clinical fascism in this country. Rethink the war on drugs, criminal justice reform. Huge now, left-right. It's passing bills in juvenile justice in 15 legislatures now. These huge penalties for a little hard drug possession. Really update the real weapons of mass destruction threat and face it. And you know what it is? It's viruses and bacteria out of control worldwide. And we have minuscule budgets. The whole boondoggle missile defense system every year sucks you up $9 to $10 billion, and they've been at it since the Reagan administration. They can't show that it works. It can't work. They can't fight any decoy of an intercontinental ballistic missile. The main organization of physicists over 15 years ago condemned it. These are the physicists who often consult with the Pentagon. So they're going $9 to $10 billion. The Center for Disease Control budget, $6 billion. We could have epidemics, either generated here or abroad, mutating and take millions of lives. What are we doing building $13 billion aircraft carrier, more nuclear subs? We don't need them. We can blow up the world now in TNT equivalents 300 times and make the rubble bounce. But it's big business for the military-industrial complex. And then the other one is prioritize the protection of the environment. Here's another misconception. You know, all these right-wing people around the country, you know, they listen to Rush Limbaugh, they believe Sean Hannity. I mean, you know, what are they, living in an illusion here? Of course they're not going to support environmental protection when it's at an abstract level, pointy-headed bureaucrats telling you how to run your affairs. Then you say, do you have kids? Yeah. Do you want them to breathe dirty air? Huh? Eat unsafe food? Have dangerous medicines? That's good. Why don't you sign on the dotted line? We'll give you a bonus for being a juvenile delinquent above the age of 21. When you come down the abstraction ladder, a lot of the ideology dissipates. When you come down where people, whether they label themselves conservative or liberal, where they live, work, and raise their families, they have to face reality. They're not facing Trumpism, Limbaughism, or all the other illusions of control that are woven around them without any rebuttal by our side, because we've lost radio, talk radio, among other media. Day after day, they're getting this stuff pumped into them, utilizing fundamental, sometimes innocent prejudices, but giving them fangs to develop terrible situations against their own interests, like the poor people in Appalachia are now supporting Republicans. Republicans go and they really spear them in Washington, because the Democrats have abandoned, for years, the economic issues for the cultural issues, because they're dialing for the same commercial dollars as the Republicans. Imagine the Democratic Party, year after year, is unable to defend our country against the worst Republican Party in history, based on the votes they've pushed through the House of Representatives, which the Democrats do not collect and use against them in the election. Anti-children, anti-woman, pro-Wall Street, pro-more Pentagon waste, pro-more corporate loopholes, tax loopholes for corporations, anti-food safety. I mean, it's like a rogue gallery of madness, and they don't use it. They don't want to upset the corporations that are feeding the Democrat coffer. You imagine what Truman and FDR would have done to today's brand of Republican Party? All right, so this book is all about this. This book is no nonsense. It shows that 1% or less of active involved advocates spread around the country have been responsible for all the major transformations in our country, other than the wars. Civil rights, abolition of slavery, civil liberties, women's right to vote, union rights, the farmer progressive eruption in the late 19th century, regulating the banks and the railroads. All of these have been spearheaded a lot by little third parties, never won an election, and by less than 1% of the people giving a couple of hundred hours a year networked on their cause. So why are we so pessimistic? Why don't we say, good heavens, we have the 1% in Wall Street. How about our 1%? As long as we reflect public sentiment, as Abraham Lincoln advised us, we win. When we reflect left-right, we win the landslide. It's an unstoppable. And today, and the book is full of examples, is where even a few dozen people got all kinds of hazardous medicines off the market. They broke through the power of the drug companies. Or a paraplegic student from Oberlin went to work with us, Ralph Hotchkiss, broke the monopoly on crummy wheelchair sales out of London, England, and got production here with a few of his colleagues over the last 30 years, and built and did not patent brand new improvements in wheelchair design to be resilient, not break down, inexpensive, and can maneuver people over uneven surface. And he goes all over the world, in third world, teaching people, poor people, how to build their own wheelchairs with local materials, and then they begin to teach him refinements on the wheelchair. These wheelchairs can do almost anything but fly. You cannot believe these wheelchairs. He was tied in with San Francisco State for many years before the new head decided he wanted to emphasize athletics, and he shooed him out of there to Berkeley. Ralph Hotchkiss. Lois Gibbs, out of Niagara Falls. Love Canal, all that toxic waste under their homes, a housing project. She became a massive leader for a grassroots effort right at the neighborhood level against toxics all over the country, winning battle after battle. She never had any experience. You know what she had? She had determination. She had concentration. She had curiosity attached to a purpose in life that she thought she could justify because of the problems with her children and other children and this covered-up toxic waste dump, Hooker Chemical and other chemicals abandoned without telling the homeowners after the developers covered it up, was seeping, into the cellars and so on. This book has a lot of examples. Here's what I'd like you to do. The last thing I want you to do is to leave this wonderful bookstore by a wonderful poet and wonderful staff and say to each other, wasn't that an interesting presentation? Okay? We don't have time for just interesting presentations. The time is for action. The sovereignty is in our hands. We have the power. We've got to give it a cutting edge, organized power through the electoral, through the civic. And just realize this, that the Congress is full of senators represented who are afraid of the people. And they don't want the people to wake up enough to organize. They're pretty shocked by how many are supporting Trump. They didn't understand the simmering resentment that his rhetoric inflamed. They're still afraid of the people. I can assure you of that. Shall we mimic Trump? The members of Congress are afraid of the people. Believe me, okay? I can assure you of that. All right? Keep saying, believe me, believe me. One time my mother wrote a column for the New York Times, and she said, you know, I call up people, and they keep saying, believe me. You know, all these believability phrases that people add on, to be honest with you. And she said, why do they have to say that if they're telling the truth? And so Gingrich sets all-time record for saying, for his credibility. It's because he lies so much. And Trump is, you know, the triumph. He's the triumph, the dog, you know. He's a failed gambling czar and a corporate welfare king who's cheated almost everyone categorically he's met, his consumers, workers, creditors, suppliers, taxpayers, cheated on his matrimony, bragged about it. And look where he's come. Look at, see, this is the abandonment of the Democratic Party. It should be easily taken care of, that reptilian challenge, if you have. So this has a lot of things in it. I'd like you to buy six at a time. So you have neighborhood meetings on it, and the key pivot is a Congress watchdog group with a letterhead. You start with 50, 100 people. You introduce yourself to the two senators, representative. You say, what you're going to do is you're going to get more support, and you're going to summon them to town meetings here in the Bay Area. And you're not going to say, well, Nancy Pelosi's a liberal. I mean, she struck out in 2010, 12, 14. She's going to strike out again. And they keep reelecting her. They don't even know the rules of baseball because she's a nice person. And she goes around raising money for candidates all over the country. In the meantime, they are dominated by the worst, most craven, vicious, ignorant Republican operatives in the party history since 1854. You don't leave anybody out. And you summon them to a town meeting, and just to make it easy, I've written up a formal summons. It's whereas, whereas, whereas. You've made a mess of things, Congress. You've made a mess of things. Now, herefore, we summon you to a town meeting at a place of public convenience. We're sending you our materials so you can do your homework and not just smile and nod on us and walk out the door after you hear what we're demanding. We even have drafted bills. It's all there. All you got to do is put your finger to the wind and say, you know, this is the right thing to do. I might get less money from Walmart and J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo. It's the right thing to do because my future depends on it. And I don't want them on my back. The most powerful lobbies, they have three things. They put money in the coffers. In personam lobbying on Capitol Hill and back home, like I said. You think AIPAC has demonstrations? Are you kidding? You think the NRA has marches? They just work on 535. And you talk to people on Capitol Hill, and privately, they say, I don't really like AIPAC's demands, but I'm afraid to say it publicly. I say, why? He said, because I just want to get them off my back. I don't have the time. My staff doesn't have the time. So I say yes to them. I say yes to the NRA on background checks and so on. So this distills it all and has a lot of examples and some funny things, actually. I'm not placing much reliance on humor as a conveyor belt. It just relieves the stress once in a while. And let me end on this note. Sometimes on Saturday afternoon, I turn on the network programs. ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox. I want to see how our property is being used. Now, there's a lot going on in America on Saturday afternoon. There's a lot of good civic breakthroughs. There's all kinds of innovative things in school, in the arts, and in politics, and how we're solving problems here, but it isn't diffused over there, and we can learn from one another. Here's what I found on an average Saturday. Our property was used free by NBC, Fox, ABC, CBS, and over-the-air networks. What did I see on TV this Saturday afternoon? Puppycat, Tree Flew Tom, Astro Blast, The Chica Show, World of Adventure Sports, Action Sports, Track and Field Championships, Infomercials, Golf, U.S. Senior Open, 5 hours on Fox. That must be really exciting. Infomercials, 2.5 hours on ABC of infomercials. You know, kitchen equipment, real sharp knives, cutters, squeezers. Yeah, you buy them all, you get another squeezer. The PGS Tour Golf, The Insider, and Into the Wild and Exploration. That's a typical Saturday afternoon on TV USA. Now, there isn't anybody here, I can guarantee you, believe me, okay, that watches Saturday afternoon network TV. Is it, right? So why do they do it? Because they have demographics that it's cheap, first of all, and they have cheap advertising relative to high ratings, and they make a go of it. So they have people who want to watch senior golf, and they have the exact type of products to sell older people who watch senior golf. You know, it's micro data and all that, data mining. So raise our expectation levels. Start the letterhead. Start it with 10, 20, 30. It's a lot of fun. Justice is joyful. Believe me, it's better than a box of chocolates. And once you begin, and I'm saying you because you're mostly active, you wouldn't be here, but once people begin to stop saying, I'm a nobody, I don't count, I don't matter, they're not going to listen to me, the big boys are going to do whatever they do. Once you stop that, there's a whole different psychological pattern to the human personality and character. Thank you very much.
That was the conclusion of Ralph Nader's talk on his new book, Breaking Through Power. It's easier than we think. It had been published in the fall of 2016 in the Open Media series by City Lights Publishers. The full talk, recorded by me on October 18, 2016, was almost an hour long, and you can hear both segments for free on www.tucradio.org. Ralph Nader credits City Lights editor Greg Ruggiero for having requested that he write this book as a tool for political action. When Ruggiero joined City Lights Publishing in 2006, he added to their offerings the Open Media series with intelligent, inspiring, and potentially radicalizing books. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look for the newest programs page. TUC Radio's free and depends on the support of listeners like you. Your donation keeps this program on the air. Go to TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. There you can also subscribe to weekly free podcasts. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.